everybody. Welcome back into Locked On Suns, pretty Locked On Podcast Network. Today's always your host, Evan Setter, and my co-host, Brendan Clean. You can follow me on Twitter at E7FallBurn, on Twitter at BrendanClean14. As far as our Locked On Suns page, you're already at Locked On PHX Suns. Your support is very much appreciated, as always. We're joining you guys live after the second preseason game for the Phoenix Suns, where they lost in blowout fashion this time around to the Sacramento Kings, 105-88. It was preseason action, so it's not much to take away from this one. Brent, what was your main takeaways from this one?
Yeah, well, we can kind of go through the main bullet points. I think there is something to glean here, which is, you know, we got to see the full rotation on display here for the most part, with Mikal Bridges, Kelly Oubre, and Aron Baynes, who really were not even supposed to be playing in this game, according to the original report, which on Sunday said 7 to 10 days they'd be reevaluated. So this has only been 4 days, and they already are playing in a preseason game. So I think that's a reason for optimism just generally about the health of the team going into the year. But getting to see them on the court, you know, I think there was some rest, and we can get into players individually, but a little bit more of a sense, I think, of the way that they might operate with those guys, mainly being they played pretty big a lot of the night with Dario Saric and Frank Kaminsky, and then DeAndre Ayton and Aron Baynes, really two bigs most of the game, with Bridges and Oubre almost exclusively as wings. People can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think we saw any, or if you saw it, Evan, lineups with either Bridges or Oubre kind of as the four in any of the lineups. So some clues there. I think it was good to see those guys get on the court, first of all, but also some clues to how they'll be used once the regular season comes around.
Yeah, I think it kind of was a good idea of what it's going to be like. And from all indications, from what we saw tonight, Brent, I think a lot's going to be relied on with not only Kelly Oubre, but Mikal Bridges too, right? Who on multiple occasions kind of showed to me that there could be a leap two coming for him, because his defense was really good now on Bogdan Bogdanovic, and even showed off some offense again that I really like too, as far as on the wings go. I think Mikal really stood out to me.
Yeah, Mikal Bridges was, I think, I did a quick little recap on Bright Side of the Sun and just did some top performers from each team who just stood out for one reason or another. Mikal Bridges definitely did. I mean, you know, I think a swing factor in this team's future is the level that Bridges can reach offensively. And it was good to see him come out in his first time on the court this season and put up some shots off the bounce, get that side of his game going a little bit. That's what the preseason is for, is to get comfortable, prove it to the coaching staff, prove to your teammates that you can handle those types of things. And so to see him take, he took a pull-up three, he took a kind of dribble drive mid-range from about the free throw line. And as you mentioned, we saw a lot of his trademark defensive acumen, just getting in the passing lanes and kind of making life difficult on their opposing wing. So that was definitely good to see. On the other hand, Kelly Oubre, 0-for-9, 0-for-5 from three-point land, and looks to be pretty hampered by the pain in his hand or just the rustiness as he gets onto a basketball court for the first time in a little bit here, having missed training camp.
Yeah, 0-of-9 from the field. He had 8 points, went to the free throw line, had 10 attempts there. But yeah, it was a really rusty game for Oubre. And does that worry you at all, Brennan, that if maybe this is just time for him to adjust after missing camp and how bad that injury is? But I hope this isn't a situation like Devin Booker last year, where this thing lingers into the season.
Well, I think it's, I mean, it has to be concerning, but the level to which it's concerning, I think we'll have to just see. The good news, I think, what I was trying to get at the beginning is, like, it's good that these guys did get on the court for this game, because that leaves them now two more before the regular season. And we already know as well that after the preseason, the Suns have a full week of practice before the first regular season game. So it'll be nice to get that game time and then have a full week where, you know, that can almost act as a second training camp, where these guys can take the lessons they learn from the four preseason games and put it into action on the practice court. So good that we're going to see these injured players for the full three games here. And hopefully that helps somebody like Oubre, who clearly did not have it in his first game back.
Looking over the box score here, Brennan, once more, and just a team stat here that stood out to me. 31% from the field, 18% from three, 6-33 overall. The Kings didn't shoot well themselves. They were 41% and 35% respectively from their shooting situations. This is just one of those nights where it reminded me of last year, where just the shots weren't falling from the three-point line. It doomed them from the start.
It really did feel like a 2018-19 Suns game, unfortunately. And I think part of that is just, as we talked about with the guys coming back for their first game, but also just a weird kind of lackadaisical game. I think that's why it felt like the last year's Suns, is because we saw just too many nights last year where the effort just wasn't there to start games, and you get out to these big deficits, and it's the Kings did it to the Suns a lot last year, so it's almost funny that it was them again tonight. But it did feel that way, and a lot of the same problems from Tuesday crept up on them too, which were 21 turnovers. You mentioned the three-point shooting, only 18% from three after I think it was 7 of 30 or something like that in the last game. So I think it was 7 of 23 in the last game. So the threes are just not going in for this team at all. And then the twos were not much better tonight, with Oubre and Ty Jerome, Frank Kaminsky struggling from the field as well. So a strange one, and not, even more troubling than what we saw on Tuesday. So let's hope that it is just getting oriented as the bodies come back into the rotation and we get closer to Monty kind of unveiling what he really wants the rotation to look like, and stylistically to get comfortable with things. But a step back for sure from what we saw on Tuesday, which I think there was some to get excited about, not a whole lot to get excited about tonight.
I think another interesting note we should talk about here, Brent, is Javon Carter, who had 16 points. He also had a couple of steals as well, 5-12 from the field in 25 minutes, played over Ty Jerome as far as the backup point guard goes, at least tonight. Do you think he's earning himself a rotation spot now?
It seems like it. I was kind of comparing him and Ty Jerome, and I feel like there's a lot to get into there. It seems like not seeing Tyler Johnson today, really it's Monty Williams letting Carter and Jerome get the lion's share of these minutes in the preseason, and I think he really sees this as a battle, and I think today you have to give the favor to Javon Carter. Finished only 5 of 12 when it was all said and done, but at one point was had a much better field goal percentage than even that, missed a few late, and really, really impressive team defense. Wasn't really able to always stay with De'Aaron Fox, who was his primary matchup a lot of the game, but again, no one can do that. I talked about that yesterday on a little preview episode, is that what are they going to be able to do with Fox? I think Carter put up the best fight there, so on both ends tonight, which is not usual for Carter, he really stepped up.
Yeah, it's certainly going to be a battle to watch throughout camp there, in my opinion, as Ty Jerome and Javon Carter continue to really battle for those lion's share minutes at the backup spot behind Ricky Rubio there. But speaking of another player I want to hit on, Brennan, Devin Booker, is kind of like one of those nights once more for Booker like last year and years past, where it was pretty much him and everyone else around him was struggling.
Yeah, I think we can get into a Booker and Ayton thing a little bit more extensively if we want to take a quick break here, maybe, because I have some thoughts, to put it that way, not only about negatively about Ayton, but I think there was some problems with the way Booker approached things tonight too.
Yeah, I would certainly agree with, I think, what you're going to go along with here in a second. But before we do that, I wanted to tell everyone about Indochino. Indochino is the world's largest made-to-measure menswear brand. Start your style upgrade now with $30 over total purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com when entering promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON, at checkout. All right, Brennan, what kind of point did you want to hit on there as far as Ayton Booker go?
Well, to me, the turnovers for Booker and the style, I think that contributed. If we're in agreement here that the game had a really strange feel to it as far as energy, especially on offense, goes, I think Booker's, the way he approached the game tonight, was unfortunately one of the driving forces in why it felt that way, at least to me. And 4 turnovers tonight in 24 minutes compared to just 3 assists after 5 turnovers on Tuesday against Minnesota. Continues to force shots and put the ball into tight windows, hit DeAndre Ayton kind of off guard, leading to some fumbled passes again tonight. You'd think that of anyone on this team, he'd be pretty comfortable operating the pick and roll with Ayton. That wasn't the case tonight, and 16 shot attempts when no one else took more than 12 is not, I think, how the division should look. And I don't think it's how the Suns envision it looking. So kind of just a little bit of a my ball kind of night from Booker that I think caused a lot of problems.
I mean, luckily it's only preseason at this point. So if Booker wants to be aggressive and get his shots up, I guess this is now the time to do it before you get into a more team constrained atmosphere in the regular season action here. But as far as Booker goes, Brennan, he continued to fill up the box score again, though. He had 18 points. He also had 7 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals. Do you feel like this is going to be like maybe one of those years where Booker is going to be more conscious of his efforts and get more into, like, let's say, steal categories where he has 3 tonight? I think we talk about it throughout the offseason here. I think that Booker's defense is going to have to rise up a little bit more often now with the talent around him.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's a little tougher to, like you're kind of saying, it is preseason. So his defense, to me, it's like guys are just shuffling in and out of there. You know, they play decent defense, I guess, if you just look at some of the numbers from the Kings. But, you know, the Kings are playing Yogi Ferrell a whole ton, who's not going to be in their rotation. Just same type of rotation style from Sacramento's perspective. So, I wasn't seeing anything closely defensively from him. I hope that he takes that stuff seriously, but it's kind of tough for me to say. I do think, though, you know, to go back to our previous conversation with the Carter-Jerome kind of battle that's brewing right now, is Carter, to me, one of my main thoughts as I watched him perform so well tonight after I criticized him offensively on Tuesday was like, well, if this guy's going to be in the lineup, maybe it'll hurt the offense. I mean, it almost surely will hurt the offense compared to Ty Jerome or just heavier minutes for the Rubio Booker Johnson trio. But the defense could really be helped if they have another trustworthy individual and team defender on the court. So maybe that's something to be positive about if Carter does win out, is that it's just another body in there that we weren't expecting who can really chip in on defense. So hopefully that type of support system helps Booker. But to move to Ayton really quick, he was the guy, I think, getting the most criticism that I saw on Twitter and kind of just, I guess just on Twitter. But I think it was really, honestly, to me, he didn't play much worse, in my opinion, than he did on Tuesday. But going up against Marvin Bagley, against whom he'll always be compared, I think, didn't do him any favors. And Bagley had himself a pretty solid night. So I think that really was where it was coming from. But what did you see there?
Yeah, just to point out Bagley's stat line for the listeners, 12 points, 13 rebounds and a block shot, plus 15 in 25 minutes, 4-10 from the field. And meanwhile, DeAndre, and he had 10 points. And also, he only had 3 rebounds in 24 minutes. So kind of a lackadaisical night for Ayton, I think, just as far as attacking the glass goes. But I would agree with you, from what I saw tonight out of Ayton as far as his offense goes, I think it was sort of the same thing we saw on a couple nights ago. And I think he's done, for the expectations we have for Ayton so far and in 2 preseason games, I feel like Ayton's done fine.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think, again, you know, some of the same problems crop up, but overall nothing too concerning. I think he's making a much better effort. Didn't have any offensive rebounds tonight, but is making a much better effort on the offensive glass. That's one area where I've really noticed time and again, not just, you know, here and there, but consistent effort on the offensive glass. So that's something I think you can document as legitimate improvement over last season if you're looking for areas where that's happening. But no free throw attempts again tonight, and no block shots, no 3-pointers. So some of the areas where we were hoping to see some improvements, again, block shots, not the only measure of rim protection, but to me, didn't seem to have an incredible night. Had another tough matchup against a perimeter-oriented big man in Dwayne Dedmon, and Dedmon also really cleaned up on the glass, as did Bagley. So concerning areas for sure, but I agree. I'm like, on the whole, has he been the worst? No, I really don't think he's deserving the criticism that he's getting. And like I said, I think playing Bagley had a lot to do with it there. Did you have another point on Ayton?
No, I just had a general one though. I just want to get your thoughts on this because I've just seen this topic tossed around a little bit, and I'm curious to see where you weigh on this as well. Just like, is there much changes that we see from like preseason action to regular season action as far as the actual like players go? I mean, these games don't matter, of course, but it's kind of a proving ground to sort of like just get your feet wet and like get the rust off. But do you think there's going to be much difference when we get to like preseason action for the regular season action for these players?
I mean, you have to hope so if you're watching this game as a Suns fan. I think the main, you know, ways that I think it changes is A, you get in rhythm a little more because you're playing real NBA starter level minutes, which no one is. No one's playing more than 20, 25 minutes right now. And you also play with better players around you. So I think those are the ways, you know, especially as these other guys get closer to full health and we see the real 9 or 10 guys that are going to be around every night be on the court. I think that the kind of ripple effect there is everybody should be benefited there. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know what it tends to look like because I think in the past, the preseason games that I've watched most closely have been the Suns games. And that's the Mike James show or the, I don't know, the Alec Peters show. Right. So it's not always easy to tell, but, I want to hit on one more guy who I think this question applies to in a big way. Before we do that, though, a reminder, if you are finding our show anywhere across the internet, please subscribe so that you can keep up with us. We are back Monday through Friday starting last week, but keep up with everything this week and all the way through the season so you can take the journey with us. And if you like what you're hearing, please rate and review the show. It helps us out a lot to be more visible to people like you who want to find the show. I had a conversation on Twitter with a guy named Patrick who was talking about the theme song. Do not see your review, Patrick. So if you gave us a rating, we appreciate it. But throw that review up, throw a question in there. We will answer it. We do appreciate the love on the theme song, but let's get some Sun stuff going. So the guy that I wanted to involve here was Dario Saric, who threw up some really ugly shot attempts. And I was just curious, you know, Dave King wrote something for Bright Side of the Sun, looking at Dario, who in the past has pointed to his extensive international competition during the summer as a reason that he started so slowly in the first couple months of his NBA seasons so far in his career. And he looks really, really off right now, despite not playing for Croatia, who did not qualify for the FIBA tournament. What do you make of him? Because he's been really involved offensively, more than I expected, but has not been able to do much with it.
It's disappointing. I hope at this point, just getting his feet wet, like I said in the last segment, and getting just the rust off from an offseason where he didn't do much. The Timberwolves didn't make a playoff run or anything. So he had extended time this year for, I think, the first time in his career, or maybe the second time, maybe the first year. They were still not in the playoffs yet, the Sixers, that is. But I think for him, this is a very big year for Saric to prove he's not only capable as a starting power forward for the Suns, but also extension candidate. Is he going to get paid the money he wants to get paid this time next year? And I think so far, I mean, two preseason games, it's extremely small sample size here, but I think the adjustment from Saric going from Minnesota to Phoenix and watching back some Saric today, I'm kind of worried that the Minnesota version of Saric might be the guy we get on nights like this, Brent, where it's just like very inconsistent and he's just shooting up bricks some nights and just, it is very inconsistent. I think this is kind of the ebbs and flows we're going to see with Saric throughout the year.
Yeah. And one of the things that we've talked about, or that I've at least kind of worried about as someone who just wants this to finally work with how much of a trial and error run we've gotten to cover for the past 3 years, is if the, you know, they've all talked about their main focus just being, I guess, catching on and understanding and dedicating themselves to learning what Monty Williams is preaching. And if it doesn't work, what happens? Because this is still a young team, as much as they tried to add experienced guys. This is still a team that probably wants to see the ball go through the net a few times, see a few W's, to be able to trust that everything is working. And that's human nature. But if, you know, if Dario Saric misses some shots, if the team doesn't have the offensive success that they want, you know, whether it's an individual thing or a team thing, I do worry that it can have a negative impact. We saw that they won against the Mavericks on opening night last year and followed that up with just, you know, 7-8 losses in a row. And the season really felt almost over at that point. So that it can snowball quickly. I'm not saying Dario Saric's cold night tonight is the only reason I'm thinking this, but it did kind of cross my mind again, because that's a guy that they need to be steady at the very least, making open shots, moving the ball the right way. And being that kind of steady decision maker. He really hasn't even done that.
Yeah, I think with Sarge, it's just going to be a big time year for him. And the adjustment period, I think, for him has to be slow, has to be quicker than it was going from Philadelphia to Minnesota, because it's going to depend on him getting paid a lot of money this summer, I think, from Phoenix or wherever else it's going to be. It's a big time year for Sarge, that's for sure. And these few games to knock off some rust, I think, will do a lot for him in the regular season action when that begins here in a couple weeks, Brendan. But what other notes do you want to hit on your report on today's podcast?
That's all I got, I think. People can hop over to Bright Side of the Sun. If you're already there, then I'm sure you already read the recap, but had a few more thoughts there with some Kings thoughts as well. But yeah, that's all I had. You got anything else?
No, it just one of those preseason nights where the ball just wasn't going in the hoop for the Suns, and a lot of development. We saw Jalen McHugh get his first minutes as a Sun. Elia Kobo played only 7 minutes. Check Diallo only played 4 minutes as well. So just one of those nights where it's all about development and just the shot wasn't going for this team.
Yeah, good point on the LeCue thing. Definitely appropriate to point that out for people who did not get to watch. And again, this game was impossible to find. If you found the stream online of the Kings scoreboard, then congrats to you. You got to suffer through the buffering and weird radio broadcast on top of in-arena footage. You got to see some Kiss Cam stuff. So congrats if you were part of that group. Otherwise, I hope that we did enough to fill you in here, and you're all excited for Saturday. We got another one coming up soon.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. Saturday is coming here and very quickly, and we're going to have another basketball game here for the Phoenix Suns as we get closer to the regular season action here. October 23rd, if you forget about it, is the regular season opener Talk Series Arena against the Sacramento Kings. So this match will be happening once again here very soon for this team. But that's it for today's episode of Locked on Suns. We'll be back with you guys again tomorrow for next episode.